Hey, this is Morgan Pratt with the JMAC for Congress campaign. If you're listening to this podcast, sounds like you like JMAC. You can find out more about him by going to his Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or YouTube channel. Please remember to subscribe and rate us. Now coming up, more JMAC.
Hello there. Thank you so much for joining us today on another edition of the JMAC podcast. I've told you over and over again that I feel that somewhere along the way, we started to make a mistake in how we choose our representatives. We started to look for people who would only vote the way we would vote. And I explained that to you in a previous podcast, that if that's what we want, then really we just want a democracy. A pure democracy. We all get out our phones, we all vote, and get rid of representation. But the reason we have representation is so that we can send good, honest people of character to Washington or to the state capitol. They can learn more about the issues than we ever could, and they can make good decisions on our behalf. And sometimes those decisions are not going to match what our core belief was. Now, their job then is to come back to us and say, here's why I didn't vote in the direction that you thought I might have voted. So the key to finding good representatives is to find people of character, people who have solid guiding principles, and then trust them to do the best job possible. Instead of, no, you will vote 100% my way or the highway. So again, we need to choose people with strong guiding principles. Now, what are those guiding principles that are important to you? I have put together a list of my top 10 guiding principles. It's going to be like a David Letterman episode. The top 10 guiding principles for Jay McFarland as I seek your vote and your confidence in representing you in Washington, D.C. Now, these are in no particular order, but I want you to know how I approach things. What is my viewpoint upon the issue? I think that if we don't have guiding principles, then we don't have a moral compass. We don't have values. So here we go. Let's get started with number one of JMAC's guiding principles. Number one, very important. If the truth isn't good enough, then neither is your cause. This is something that I feel that we're missing in our society today. We either look past the facts, we look through the facts, or we parse the facts and only pick out little pieces of the facts to benefit our viewpoint, or we just simply ignore. And I have to tell you, if you're right about something, then the truth will be on your side. If you're having to fabricate or twist or spin the truth, then you're not in the right. I don't care how much you believe in a particular idea or principle. If the facts are not on your side, you are not right. So number one, if the truth is not good enough, then neither is your cause. Number two, equally as important, no honest solutions can be found in dehumanizing or mischaracterizing those involved. This is a very common practice. We see it today that there's a particular issue that involves a large group of people, and the way we deal with it is we attack those people. We dehumanize them. We mischaracterize them. We cast all of them in the light of the actions of a few in that group. No honest solutions can be found when you dehumanize those people involved. And by the way, I want to add to this as we're talking about these guiding principles. I fully recognize that there are people right now within the Republican Party who don't follow any of these guiding principles. And you might be asking me, well, why would you be in that party if they don't follow these guiding principles? Well, first of all, it's not all of them. Second of all, I see myself as a reformer. These are the principles that attracted me to the Republican Party, that attracted me to conservatism. So I'm going to do my best to restore these guiding principles to the Republican Party. All right, number three. This one also very important. Good ideas have their own momentum. This was something that was a belief by Woodrow Wilson, former president of the United States. And it's something that we've lost again in our society. There used to be a time when we believed that changing public opinion was more powerful than any legislation. Because if you could change public opinion, then people would choose legislators in a different way and you'd be able to get your votes through. Do you remember the time way back when a president of the United States would give their State of the Union address, they'd roll out a big new platform, and then they'd spend the next 2 months on the road changing hearts and minds and ginning up support for that platform. We don't do that anymore. We just try to push things through. We don't care about changing hearts and minds. And I think that's the most important part of being elected to office, is that you change hearts and minds to your viewpoint. Number four, those who seek to divide are not patriots. One more time, those who seek to divide are not patriots. I learned this from the first president of the United States in his farewell address to the nation. Of course, I'm talking about George Washington, when he begged the American people not to allow others to divide them in any way by political party, by geography, by race, or any other factor, that we would always see each other as Americans first. Those who seek to divide are in it for their personal power. Those who seek to unite, and listen, you know, any opinion can be divisive. I'm talking about how you go about it. If your goal is to go out and say, look, I'm going to gin these people up, and I know that I'm going to divide them, and I'm going to use that for my power, that's totally different than going out and saying, here's my idea, here's my vision for this country. People will be divided by your opinion, but if you're seeking to change hearts and minds, you will not be divisive. And ideally, if your ideas are sound, you will unify people around your message. People who are divisive have no hope or design to change hearts and minds. That is not their goal. In fact, their goal is just the opposite. They want to solidify you in your viewpoints and then divide you based upon those viewpoints. And we used to know this, remember? It's in scripture, a house divided against itself cannot stand. We should not allow others to divide us. We are probably, I don't know the real math behind this, but we're probably 98% alike. And we allow the 2% to divide us. And that's just not right. Number five, guiding principles. Political parties are a mechanism to fight for principles, not power. Okay, I'll say it again. Party is a mechanism to fight for principles, not power. One of the problems with political parties is that they become a power unto themselves, that those involved become more concerned about personal power than they are about the principles for which they formed their party in the first place. Number six, we motivate through raising people up as opposed to using fear and anger. Okay, let me explain something to you about this. No good decisions come when they're made in moments of fear and anger. We should learn from history that those who stand up in front of us and use these tactics of fear and anger, they are in it for all the wrong reasons. That the best decisions are made with measure, with time, with calmness, with perspective. Those who use fear and anger are in it for themselves, if you ask me. Number seven, disagreement is good. It has a centering effect. Wow, have we missed out on this one in our world today. When you have two sides pulling against each other, what typically happens is the decision that is ultimately made is somewhere in the center of those two ideas. And that keeps us on an even keel, an even course, because we do not have a country that is unified. There are those people in this world running for office right now, some of them running against me, who seem to think that the way to get things done is to act as though our side is the only viable opinion on the planet. And only when we can get enough of our people in to railroad the other side will our country ever be on the right course. It has never been that way. We have never been a people united about how to run this country. And if you think that there will ever be a time when we are united in how to run this country, where do you get that? Where does that come from? Where does it come from? We are a people divided, and that's okay. And if you send people to Washington who recognize that disagreement is good, it's healthy, and that ideas come from disagreement are infinitely better than ideas that come from one side railroading the other side. I mean, you got to picture it like a rowboat. If you have one person rowing on one side of the rowboat, you're going to go in circles. You need somebody on both sides. And that keeps you going on a steady course. Disagreement is okay, my friends. It's healthy. It's all right. It has a centering effect. We should value disagreement. But right now we live in a world where those who disagree with us are not even patriots. They're not great Americans. Of course they are. They have every right to disagree with us. That's the wonder and the beauty of our society. It's societies that we don't want to be where they force one opinion down the throats of everybody. We're actually acting like some of these countries and some of these rogue nations that we despise by saying there is only one way to be as a country. And anybody else, if you don't like it, then get out. It's dangerous. It's wrong. You look at every major decision, every major moment of progress in our country, and you will find disagreement. And you will find that it is the compromise that brought us to the best position. And of course, the Constitution is the greatest example of that. There were those who wanted to just run their ideas through, but they were forced to compromise. That compromise gave us the greatest document in history, as far as I'm concerned. But we're abandoning that idea now. My friends, disagreement is good. It's healthy. Number 8, if your organization is not growing, it's dying. This is something that I learned in business. And this is very important that I share this with you, because it goes back to changing hearts and minds. You must be in the business, whether you're a business, an organization, a political party, a politician, you must be in the business of always recruiting to your cause. Always. Why? Because there's always attrition. Attrition because people die. Attrition because people change their minds. They become dispassionate. They become disinterested. Any business will tell you that you have to always be growing. Even if your ranks are full, even if you have more business than you can handle, you want to always be growing. How does this apply to politics? We've gotten out of the business of evangelizing for our cause. Conservatives are not out there right now sharing the message of conservatism as to why it's so important. Elected officials are not in the process of growing our ranks. And if you look at conservatism, the fewest number of people in our country right now ever self-identify as conservatives. And I believe to become a conservative, you have to hear somebody evangelizing for it. It requires a level of conversion. And right now, we're not growing. If you look at our ranks, we are not growing. And so we have to choose people who can get out there and change hearts and minds and allow us to grow. Number 9, a good point always trumps a good insult. Always. This goes back to changing hearts and minds. Some of these principles, they run together. But back to the idea, if you're not growing, you're dying. If somebody's sitting in the middle right now, an independent, a young, you know, teenager who is trying to decide, are they conservative? Are they liberal? What are they? And they're watching the elected officials of this country. Who are they going to gravitate towards? Are they going to gravitate towards the person who gives the best insult? Or are they going to gravitate towards somebody who is actually trying to explain their principles and ideals? I think it's pretty obvious. I know there's a lot of people out there who love the fact that President Trump is finally giving it back to the left. I understand that emotion. But to those of you who like it, I would ask you, to what end? Is that action bringing people into the tent of conservatism? Is that action bringing people to the Republican Party? If you look at the answers, the numbers are overwhelmingly that the answer is no. Look at the election we just had. Overwhelmingly, no. We're not bringing people into the tent. A good point always trumps a good insult. And something I've learned in talk radio is when people are attacking your point with ideas, then that means that they're using the thought process, they're trying to communicate to you, and they feel that they can stand with you in a discussion. When they resort instantly to personal attacks, then that tells me they can't combat what I'm saying. They don't know how to combat it reasonably and logically. So the only thing they're left with is emotional attacks. That's what that tells me. If you are attacking somebody when you have a chance to articulate your viewpoint, but instead you choose the most base character assassinations, then that tells me you cannot articulate a point. My friends, we should be sending people to Washington who can articulate a message without the insults. If we are not good enough to be able to express and fight for what we believe without the insults, then we're just not good enough. We're not good enough. If we truly believe what we believe, we ought to be able to fight for it without the insults. This is core to having a value system and to right and wrong. And finally, number 10. This one, I'll quote Casey Musgraves, country music star. I'd rather lose for who I am than win for who I ain't. We need to send people to Washington who are secure in who they are. One of the most common questions I get since I jumped into the election is, J-Mac, we see people go to Washington and they change. And how are you going to keep yourself from changing? Well, I have to tell you, I'm not interested in being a congressman for the sake of being a congressman. If I have to change who I am to be a congressman, I'll go back to what I was doing. I had my dream job. I was on the air every day on the biggest radio station in the state of Utah and sharing my opinions and values every single day. If I have to change who I am to be a congressman, why would I do that? Why would I do that? I'd rather lose for who I am than win for who I ain't. And if I ever find myself in a place where I am considering changing my core and these guiding principles so that I can stay in office, somebody please slap me. Just come right up to me and just slap me and say, J-Mac, come on, this is not who you are. Those are my top 10 guiding principles. Now, I'll add to it two methodologies that I use to assess the truth of a situation. Because it's very difficult in today's political world to assess the truth. And so I've employed two methods for assessing how you might look at a particular issue. So I'll add these to my top 10. These are just methods of assessing truth. The first one is the political retraction test, okay? when somebody is making a claim, when there is a controversy in Washington, one of the easiest ways to discover if what the truth is to imagine a scenario where the politics aren't involved. Take the politics out of it and see if the way people are talking about it is the same. So, for example, with illegal immigration, do you really believe if the politics were not involved that we couldn't come up with a viable solution for illegal immigration? You put 30 people in a room that have no political leanings and say, can you guys please come up with a solution for illegal immigration? You don't think they could do it? This is America, for goodness sakes. Of course they could do it. Of course they could do it. Take the politics out of it for a minute and see if the claim that is being made still is the same. So that's the political retraction test. The second one is the partisan reversal test. This is my favorite. Flip it. Flip the universe. If the Republicans are saying something right now and they're very angry about it and they're pounding their fists and they're outraged, or that they're defending something, the easiest way to discover if they are being partisan or principled is to flip it and say, okay, let's imagine this scenario with Hillary Clinton as president. And Hillary Clinton just did these things that President Trump just did. Are you telling me that the Republicans would be dot, dot, dot? That's the partisan reversal test. Two of my favorites, the political retraction test and the partisan reversal test. My friends, I know this has been a longer podcast, but I wanted you to understand what makes me tick. I wanted you to understand the principles that will guide me. These are principles that have guided me as a talk show host for 20 years. If you listen to my program, you know I have been true to these principles. And these are principles that I will take with me to Washington, D.C. I challenge you to discover the guiding principles of other people who are seeking your vote when they run for office. What are their guiding principles? Do they have them at all? It's a great question. These are mine. I can't wait to hear your feedback on them. Share them in the comments for this podcast. And again, thank you so much for listening. If we don't have principles that guide us, then what's the point in the first place?
Thanks for listening to the JMAC podcast. If you'd like to donate to JMAC for Congress, you can go to jmacforutah.com. That's jmacforutah.com.